How can we know that God has forgiven us? We do a prison ministry, and oftentimes when discussing these matters, we've had inmates get up and walk out on us because they're convinced they've been forgiven by God Almighty and for us to show that, no, you got to be a member of the one church. No, you got to obey the gospel plan of salvation or you're not forgiven. Believe it or not, it's offensive to them. They'll start to tell about experiences. They'll talk about the Holy Spirit talking to them directly. They'll talk about seeing angels or visions. As a matter of fact, one said the other day to one of our men, "I know that I have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that one of the guards here has been telling Wesley that a lot of people up here are involved in satanic worship." No guard there has told me any such thing. But yet he claims the Holy Spirit told him that that was taking place. Now, let me back up and do this for a moment. Suppose I should tell you something as far as predicting it that actually comes to pass. And I try to use that as proof that I'm on God's side. Would you believe it? Let me tell you a true story. I was getting ready to go do the radio program, Arise to Truth. I left my home and went to the store. And then I remembered I better hurry back home and warn my daughter because she's fixing to have a car wreck. So I headed back as hard as I could go to warn my daughter. And she passed me. And I thought, she's going home. I thought, well, maybe she'll make it. So I went over to do the broadcast, and my wife called and said Karen had a wreck. I said, I knew it. I knew she was going to have a wreck. And then I told my wife what caused the wreck. And she said, that's right. You see, a little cat, somebody had put off a little baby kitten, wild little kitten, at our house. And my daughter loves little kittens. And she said, Daddy, since they put that off, can I take that home with me? I said, well, sure, I don't care. But I knew she'd put it in the car without it being in a box. And I knew just as sure as she did, it would scare the cat. And the cat would get on her. And she'd wreck. I was going as hard as I could back to the house to tell her, don't put that cat in your car without having it in a box. It's not tame. It's wild. And so sure enough, the cat got on her. She was trying to get the cat off of her, ran off the road through a fence. See, I felt like that could happen. I didn't know for sure it would. Now, a lot of people, they might say, this is going to happen out in the future, and maybe it even comes to pass, just like that event. And they try to use that as proof that God's with them. Now open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 13. I want to show you three things that lead people away from God whereby they cannot receive forgiveness. Three things. And I want you to remember these. They're very important. We see it in the book of Deuteronomy. We see it in life today. Number one, beginning with verse 1 in Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Notice, he gives a sign, he gives a wonder, and it actually comes to pass. Notice, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Let me tell you something, folks. You're put to test quite often, and so am I. When people tell you things that might be hard to explain, and then they try to encourage you to leave God, leave His Word, leave His church, to follow that which is not authorized. God says, I prove thee, I try thee, to see if you're really a believer of my word, to see if you really love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Folks, it's not good enough to say I love the Lord my God if you don't love His word, if you don't love that which He has said. Now, we hear people out in the religious world all the time declaring they love God, yet they will not do what God has commanded them to do. We have those who call the Arise to Truth radio program. We do it live. We have preachers. And I say, well, let me ask you something. Do you agree with Jesus in Mark 16:60? Just tell me if you agree with Him or not. Well, you know I agree with Him. So you believe that one's got to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. No, that's not what I believe. I said, well, let me tell you what Jesus says then. Tell me if you agree with this. I'll just quote what Jesus says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you agree with that? No, I think when you believe you're saved, you'll be baptized if you want to. I said, let me tell you what Jesus said one more time. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now just tell me, do you agree with Jesus or do you not agree with Jesus? That's not a tough question. Well, what does the rest of the verse say, and what does it say before it and after it? Sir, we'll read the rest of the verse. We'll read what's in front of it, what comes behind it. But what I want to know, do you agree with Jesus when Jesus Christ said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? And you can't get them to admit when you actually read the verse that they will agree with Jesus Christ. And yet they stand up and say, oh, I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. I love truth. No, the God of heaven proves us, friends, to see if we really love Him. Now, let me show you something in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 37, notice what the Bible says. If any man think himself to be a prophet, and many people do, are spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. When somebody stands up and says, oh, I'll tell you one thing now. The Holy Spirit is speaking through me, and the Holy Spirit tells me stuff. Well, you see, if they agree with the Apostle Paul, they won't. And I put them to the test time and time again on live radio and also in public debates. They will not agree with the inspired writers. Now, let me tell you something. I've either got to believe the inspired writers or believe them. I got news for you. I'm going to believe the inspired writers. I have no choice. I got to believe what the Word of God says, for my Heavenly Father proveth me, to see if I truly love Him and I'm willing to do what He says do. Now look, if you will, at Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, beginning with verse number 6, watch this. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Did you see verse 8? that even if an angel, a legitimate angel from heaven, should stand right here and tell you something that's not in the Word of God, the Bible says, let that angel be accursed. You and I've got to believe the book. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So back in the book of Deuteronomy, we're told, even if a person should foretell something, make what we might call a prophecy, and it come to pass, and then he does that which would lead us away from God. Oh, we don't follow him. We follow God. We do what the book says. It is a trial of your faith and mine. And we got to make sure that we've got faith enough in God and his word to do that which is right. We have those who call the Arise to Truth radio program claiming to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And one of them will say there's only one in the Godhead, and another one will call in claiming to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and say there's three. Another will call in claiming to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and say you cannot know you're saved if it's not evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Another will call in and say, no, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he's wrong. A lady called me when we were on the role of the woman and said the Holy Spirit told me I could preach. I said, that's funny. He told me you couldn't. 1 Timothy 2:12. Now, when did he change his mind? And if he changed his mind, why did he not tell all of us? You see, folks, he's not changed his mind. You either believe the book or you don't. You either believe what God says or you don't. Now, you and I have got to make sure we're good Bible students. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. It becomes your responsibility and mine to help these people. And the only way we're going to help them achieve forgiveness, true forgiveness from God Almighty, is to present to them the truth that will set them free. People out there are so wrapped up in their emotions and what they feel. They're so wrapped up in thinking they've got the Holy Spirit or they've seen a vision or they've seen Jesus that they have walked away from the truth, the Bible. If I were the devil, that's what I'd want to tell people. You don't really need God's Word. Just feel good about God. Just say you love God. Say you love Jesus. It makes no difference where you live by this or not. As long as you love God and you love Jesus. And that's exactly what denominational preachers are preaching. I debated a preacher on live radio. They invited me and this preacher to appear on another radio broadcast. And I took some questions to help expedite the debate. One was, one must obey the commandments of God in order to be saved. I'd already answered that. I put true. He put false. I'd back every denominational preacher into that corner. I knew I could back him there. I just didn't think he'd go that quickly. Because another question on that questionnaire was, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins is a commandment. He has to say yes. When he says yes, then I'm going to say if you've got to keep his commandments, then baptism is essential. He knew where I was going and he didn't want to be taken there. So he says, no, you don't have to keep the commandments of God. I said to the listening audience, listen to me, folks, please. I asked a simple question by statement form. A man must keep the commandments of God to be saved. He put false, I put true. Now, I'm saying you got to obey God. He says you do not. Tell me, folks, please, which preacher you think's working for God and which one's working for the devil. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It doesn't take a genius at all. Now, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. Don't let people lead you away from this book. Don't let Ron do it. Don't let me do it. Don't let anyone do it. And your attitude must be, I'm sticking with the Word of God. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to believe. Now, go back to Deuteronomy 13. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments. That's the point I've been trying to get across to you. And obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. When my wife and I got married, based on what Genesis 2 says, based on what Matthew 19 says, that we were to leave our mothers and fathers and cleave to one another. Well, just as I am to cleave to my mate, the Bible says I am to cleave to God Almighty. So I'm to cleave to Him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death. Under Old Testament law, I want you to notice how much God detested error. So much so, He says, the man that tries to lead you away from me, let that man be put to death. When you read the Bible, you'll find out that God Almighty certainly believes in discipline. It was the God of the Bible that drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. It was the God of the Bible that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the God of the Bible that consumed Nadab and Abihu in fire. It was the God of the Bible that struck Ananias and Sapphira dead. It was the God of the Bible that destroyed the old world by a flood. God believes in discipline. And even today, the Bible says, if a man teaches that which is wrong, that which is divisive and destroys souls, you and I are to mark that man, have no fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 16:16-17. You see, you and I can't endorse teachers of error. You and I cannot promote error ourselves. We got to love the truth. Why? Because these are the very words of God Almighty. How can you keep His commandments if you're promoting something that's not even His commandment? Like come to the mourner's bench to be saved. Our faith only. Our one church just as good as another. You can't receive God's forgiveness by coming up with a plan that's not even in the Bible. We beg preachers, and we have a bunch of them that listen to our broadcast. We know you teach the sinner's prayer. We know you teach salvation by faith alone. We know you teach one church is just as good as another. We will give you free airtime to call in and give the verses that teach those things. You don't need 10 verses for each one of them. One verse will get the job done. Call in and give one verse that says one is saved by faith only. Call in and give one verse that says one can pray the sinner's prayer to be saved. Call in and give one verse that says one church is just as good as another. And we go through a host of things like that, that they believe. Those verses are not forthcoming. You know why? They're not in the Bible. And we tell the audience, now listen to all the verses that these preachers have called in. And then we just have dead silence like that. Did you hear all those verses? Not a one. But yet they continue to preach it. Now there's something wrong, folks, but the Bible's right. And we got to go by the Bible. We got to do what the book says. Now notice, if you will, the rest of verse 5. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commandeth thee to walk in. I want you to notice that the Bible makes it plain that God's way is clear enough that one can tell when it's being preached and one can tell when it's not being preached. We have those, even in our great brotherhood, wishy-washy, namby-pamby, liberals who have begun to say, well, you can't really understand the Bible. You know, it says one thing to you and something else to me. And are we going to go over your list or my list? Had an elder in the Lord's church asked me the other day, Wesley, are we going to go over your list or my list in determining who we fellowship? I said, neither. Let's go over God's list. It's an insult to the God of heaven to say that God has given us a book we cannot understand. God made you. God made me. And God certainly knows how to communicate with us. He knows how to write a book that you and I can understand. Many people do not understand it because they're not willing to burn a little midnight oil. And therefore, they take the word of the preacher, the Bible teacher, the next door neighbor, rather than listening to the Word of God. Be a good Bible student. Do you know why some of the ungodly movements have made inroads into the Lord's church? The Crossroads movement, the Boston movement, Shelley and what he's done, other ungodly movements, is because our people, God's people, have quit being good Bible students. You can't teach false doctrine to a person that truly loves truth and knows it. They won't accept it. But there's a lot of people that don't know the difference. And so when they hear something that sounds fairly good to them, they're apt to buy into it. Don't buy into anything except that which is inspired. Look at verse number 6. I want to show you a second way to be led away from God so that you don't receive forgiveness. And that is by family members. See, the first one was some spiritual leader standing up and saying, oh, let me tell you what God's told me. A dreamer of dreams, a man that claims to be a prophet, a man that claims to be working for God. No, the Bible says that even old Satan himself turns himself into a minister of light. Not to be shocked when that occurs. He's trying to lead you astray, trying to lead me astray. You know why a lot of people go to the services they attend, the church they attend? Because that's where mom and dad's always gone. Or it's the closest one to their house. Or someone with whom they work encouraged them to come. Now watch this. In verse number 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend. Now watch this, how close they are. Which is as thine own soul. Oh, for somebody so close to you, it's like your own soul. A part of you. And so close to you. Entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known. Thou and are thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are around about you, nigh unto thee, are far away from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. Now, here's God's attitude toward truth and toward himself. God says, if anybody arises to lead you away from me and try to get you to follow other gods, I don't care if it's a father, a son, a mother, a wife, and they're so close to you, it's almost like a part of you. You don't follow that individual. You rise up against that individual. You don't spare that individual. You don't conceal that individual. But because you love God more than you love that person, you take part in discipline to see to it that party is put to death. Now, that's Old Testament law, but that shows you God's attitude toward error. Isn't that amazing? And we don't have that same attitude today. Listen, I tell brethren where I preach, and I often say it in gospel meetings, if I could have one prayer answered, I know what it would be. Think about it. If you could have just one prayer answered in all the world, what prayer would you have answered? Here's mine. Oh God, help me to love the things you love and hate the things you hate. That'd be my prayer. But you see, God's not going to answer that prayer. Just bang, you got it, Wesley. You know why? That's what's involved in being a faithful child of God. Learning to love the things God Almighty loves and learning to hate the things that He hates. And the Bible says He hates some things. He sure does. So you and I, we can't let family members come between us and God. How many times, and I guarantee you it's true here. It's true at Stony Creek. It's true everywhere. How many times have you seen a family member become excited, obey the gospel of Christ? And because some other family member out there is in denominational error, they soon lead them away from truth. If you don't have that problem here, I'm talking about it in your history, somewhere back through your history, you're a rare exception to the rule. On our Rise to Truth radio program, we have converted somewhere between 70 and 100 people, most of whom stay faithful, some don't. And do you know why some don't? Family members. Family members. We got a young man that we've converted. He was even a student in our school of preaching. He came, he knows the truth, and he went back into religious error. I went to talk to him. He said, I know where truth is. But my family is tugging on me so hard, I just can't tolerate it. Now you think about that. Rather go to hell than to do what's right and hopefully lead his family out of religious error. There's people like that. They just cannot give up their wife, give up their husband, give up their children. If I know my heart, if every one of my family members went into religious error, I'd want to continue to be faithful to God and they can do what they want to. I don't want them to do that. But you and I must have that mindset that we love God first and foremost. Turn, if you will, to Mark 10:37. Make up Matthew. Matthew 10:37. And I want you to notice a verse here which all of us better learn. He that loveth father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, that same principle is taught in the New Testament. You can't allow your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter to come between you and God. God says He won't tolerate that. You cannot love them more than you love God. I've gone into people's homes and trying to sit down and study with them the Word of God, and lights start going off and they see the truth. And rather than obeying and accepting the forgiveness of God, you know what they often tell me? If what you're telling me is right, Wesley, you just condemned my mom and dad that were faithful members of, and they named some denomination, and both are dead and in eternity. We have them call the radio program and say the same thing. Wesley, if you're right, there's only one church, and you got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins to be a member of that church. You just condemned my mother to hell. I said, listen, let me ask you this. I didn't know your mom. Don't know what your mom did or did not do. But if I should say right now, your mother's in heaven, would that make it so? No, I wouldn't make it so. If I should say your mother's in hell, Would that make it so? No, that wouldn't make it so. What's going to determine whether your mother's in heaven or hell, or anybody else's mother? Well, their relationship to God and whether they obeyed God. I say, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm telling you. What I say doesn't matter. But what the Bible says does matter. I believe my dad died lost. I believe that with all my heart. I believe many of my family members died lost. I'm sorry about that. They had a choice. But because they died lost in a religious group that is not authorized by the Bible, it's not going to cause me one moment to give up my faith in God and truth. I'm sorry about it. I really am. And if we're going to use moms and dads to judge what we're going to do, what about the Jews that don't even believe in Jesus and all their moms and dads that died not believing in Jesus? We're going to change the message for them. What about the Islamic people whose moms and dads don't believe in Jesus and don't even believe the Bible, what it says? Your mother and your dad is not my judge nor yours. And I'll promise you this, if your mom or dad or your brother, your sister, your child, your aunt, your uncle, or any other family member died lost, I know what their attitude is right now toward you. Luke 16:19 and following, they're wanting you to do right, to obey God. And they're sorry they didn't do it. I've often said on Arise to Truth, I'd like to bring some of these false teachers back, these preachers that have died, and let them preach one more sermon. They wouldn't preach what they preached here when it was on earth. You see, they now know the value of truth. And we got to know the value of truth. Look at Luke 6:26. Or make it 14:26. Luke 14:26. In Luke 14, verse number 26, we have the same principle being taught. When the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That hate means love less. You got to love less your husband and your wife and your children than you love the God of heaven. No one can come between you and God. God is first in your life or he's not there at all. That's how serious this matter is. First or not at all. So we got to make sure that God comes first in our life. Now, let's go on to our last point so we can get it covered before time runs out. And that starts in verse number 12. Now notice, here's what we've noticed so far. You don't listen to a preacher, a dreamer of dreams, a prophet, and let him lead you away from God. You don't let a family member lead you away from God. And then thirdly, you don't let a multitude lead you away from God. Notice what it says, beginning with verse number 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city. Notice all the cities gone astray, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search, and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such an abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword, and thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be an heap forever. It shall not be built again. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thy hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Even if a city should arise, an entire city, and go after that which is wrong, false gods. God says, you don't follow the multitude to do evil. No, you don't do that. You ever heard people say, your children say this and mine. Well, Dad, everybody's doing it. It makes no difference. What does God say? What does God say about it? That's the bottom line. The Bible tells us in Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Listen, if it comes down to you and God standing for what's right, you and God make a majority. Because that's all that matters, whether or not you're on the Lord's side. You've got to be on the Lord's side, I've got to be on the Lord's side, in order to be right in the sight of God. We have people call Arise Truth. Now, Wesley, surely you do not believe. Wesley, you're humorous, really. I want to tell you something. Surely you don't believe all these religious groups in America are wrong, and that what you are preaching is the truth. Yes, I do. I believe it with all my heart. Not because I'm so smart and I tell them that, but because the book is right. Then I asked them this. Is the Lord's church anywhere upon the face of the earth separate and apart from man-made churches, creeds, and doctrines of men? Can you find it anywhere? Jesus, would you tell us what happens if we follow the creeds and the doctrines of men? Mark 7:7, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, and done many wonderful works in thy name? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, folks, the Bible says in verse 22 of Matthew 7, many, not a few, many people are going through this life thinking they're saved in the name of Jesus, think they're working for Jesus, and they'll even argue with Him judgment day, but they're lost. Where are those people? I'm convinced you can take the Word of God and identify them. Just like you can take the Word of God and identify the New Testament church. And what it is you and I need to do. God has not put you and me in a hopeless dilemma where He expects us to obey Him and then not shown us clearly what's involved in obeying Him. He's also shown us clearly what's involved in disobeying Him. It's a choice you've got to make. The Lord your God proveth thee to see if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. May God help us always to stand for that which is right.